Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. The settings. You know how we're just sick of learning all the settings? For example, I go to email you the link for this podcast, and you have 5 different emails, legacy emails that pop up, but not the one that I need to send it to you. There's a way, I'm sure, to go tell Yahoo email, yeah, I'm still using Yahoo email.
Yahoo email. Impressive.
I know. And I'm sure there's a way to go in there and delete that stuff. But shit, I ain't got the time for that.
I got a life to lead. I got golf to play.
I got to talk some Utah with my man, Charge. Oh, yeah. The place where side-by-sides roam free. If only they could sing a lyric about side-by-sides in this.
Utah, people working together. Utah, what a great place to be. Blessed from heaven above. It's a land that we love. This is the place.
Paul Charchian is a man who, when he commits to something, he jumps right in with both feet, and I love that about him. You would have thought that he was going to take weeks or months to deliberate on his precious side-by-side dune buggy. Hell no. Already bought it. Charge, what do you got? What you got?
This is a Can-Am Commander XTP. It is a 4-seater. So Roxy and I, when we have guests and we are moderately popular, sometimes people come to see us. Then we can take our guests out exploring in all the places that you cannot get to by car, which in where we live is astounding places. Zabe, you've seen it. Once you get off road, it is just staggering the places you can go and the things you can see. And we're eventually, we're looking at the money and they're not cheap, but we're like, you know what? We made this huge lifetime investment to be in Utah. We have to maximize Utah and make it what it is.
Yeah.
And
so if you're going to be in Utah, be full Utah. Don't be half or three quarters Utah, for God's sakes. Be the whole thing. I love it.
We're embracing it.
Okay. But you must have been researching this Can-Am. What again? Yeah. XT something something?
Can-Am Commander XTP. Can-Am Commander XTP. Yes. We had been looking since the time we got here in the background. But then we went out with neighbors a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. And all of our neighbors own them. And they're not all stupid. They all own them because they use them and they love it. So we're like,
stupid.
This is great. One of them let us drive it. So I was driving it around. I'm like, oh my God, this is so much fun.
You're like, I gotta get one of these. I need one of these.
It's around here, Zabe. It's like being in the commercials. You're going up these rocky trails, and you know, you're going fast around these curves, and it's like being in the ads, and it's just, God, it's just great.
So it really is exciting. It really is a thrill.
Oh, yeah, baby. You bet it is. It's an engine. We're men, right? When I was a kid, did you ever do go-karts when you were a kid, Zabe?
Oh, yeah, of course. At the beach was the only place the go-kart track existed. And it was a flat little oval that you would get maybe 4 minutes around the track. And, of course, they would throw talcum powder on the rubber surface to make it slide. So it was sort of a skid track, you know. So you really couldn't get going too fast into the walls, and there was tires around the walls. But you'd go, and you'd take a turn, and then your back wheels would kind of slide gently, and then you'd grip again. And you got 4 minutes. You waited in line. And once a year was when we got to do go-karts. That was it.
Why only once a year? I don't understand.
They didn't exist.
Annual trip to the beach, or
yeah, because it was a beach thing. They didn't exist in suburbia where we lived. Mm. It was only down at the beach where there was putt-putt courses and go-karts and other such amusements, and of course the boardwalk and everything else. I'm talking to a Minnesotan. I apologize to all you East Coasters who are listening right now. You know all about the good old down the shore attractions. That is Ocean City, Rehoboth Beach, Bethany Beach, et al. Okay.
Does Atlantic City count?
That's for Jersey folk. And the whole Jersey Shore thing, did you ever watch the show on MTV, Jersey Shore?
No, because I have an iota of self-respect. So, no, I did not put my own time, my valuable time, into MTV's Jersey Shore.
Okay.
I know that Snoochie was somebody, and I don't know. Yeah.
Who?
Snoochie? Wasn't there either Snooki. A guy or a girl? Scoochie? Snooki. Something like that? Scratchy? I don't know. Something Snooki. Like that. The reason I brought up... Okay, wait. The reason I brought up the go-karts to begin with is, Zabe,
Snoochie.
As men and boys, there is something inside us that loves loves an engine, right? We love four wheels. We love engines, cars. Guys, generally, I'm talking generally.
Yes.
Have an appeal for this that women do not generally have.
Some no.
Do, most don't.
No, they don't.
We love this stuff. And the side-by-side is an extension of the same thing in the back of my brain that go-kart driving did when I was a kid. And I love the go-kart. I love the fact that I was a young kid who couldn't drive yet, but I could steer that, and I could be in that, and I could gun it, and it would move and slide. And this is an extension of that. And I am, there's something. Oh, we love fire too, as an aside, but that's a whole other conversation.
Okay.
But yes. So this is an extension of that. And I am, I'm very excited. You never have an obligation to come back to my house again. But if you do.
Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming for the better part of a week at some point.
Oh, good.
You don't even know it. Because I was talking to a friend saying, you know, now that I'm gainlessly unemployed, not gainfully, but gainlessly unemployed,
yes.
I have an abundance of time. And I have many churches, a dozen or so, that live here, there, and everywhere that would welcome me for several days at least. They would want somebody to come by and enjoy the place that they live. You in Utah, others in Florida, some in Houston, others in Phoenix. I mean, they're all over the place, as long as I keep in good stead with them. Don't wear out my welcome.
Yes, but let's be clear. You don't have charges.
No, there's one charge.
I am a man unto myself.
You were right. Yeah, there's only one charge. There's nothing, no one even close. Here is a picture you're going to see. I'm going to dub this in. This is the picture of Charge with his Can-Am side by side. Look at how proud he is right there. I mean, that man, he also sent me a video, Charge did, of the deafening silence of the true Utah wilderness, off trail, away from civilization and everyone. And it was stunning. The quiet, the scope, the grandeur of the Great West. Oh, spectacular.
And there's nobody around. Nobody. You know, it's miles before you see anybody. And you're standing in an area that it's, I don't know, somebody should be there selling tickets, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
So congrats on that.
Yes.
I don't want to delve any further, but how much was it exactly, down to the penny, please? And did you get the extended warranty? And how about ups and extras and accoutrements? Come on, I want the deets.
Yes and no. I'm not going to talk about what we paid, but we did get the deal that we got was awesome because we bought a 25 as the model year was ending. It's almost all 26s in the marketplace. I had to take a trailer to Henderson, Nevada to go pick this thing up because I got such a good deal.
Wow.
It was worth the trip down there. And we got a couple add-ons, but there's more to be had.
Okay.
I got to do the street legal add-on because people just in Utah, Zabe, and you will not understand this until you live here. People just drive around in them. There it's on the street, you know, like Main Street Hurricane.
Going to get a bag of dog food. Jump in the Can-Am. Because I'll be going off-road soon enough. Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, headline, man gets good deal on vehicle. We'll have more at 11 on our local news.
Man thinks he beat the dealership.
Man never says, oh, man, I got fleeced. But I do have a car. No one ever says that.
Nobody ever says that.
Okay.
It did take 5 days of wrangling. So,
it
you know,
did.
And I moved the dealership down almost $2,000, $1,700.
Okay. So you fought them. You fought them good. You had fish on the reel. You went back and forth. You threatened to walk out of that showroom, even though you weren't in their showroom. You were online.
Yep. It's all texting.
And I got all these other ones that lined up, and you played it right. Good for you. That's awesome. Now, from the glory of Utah to the shame of Utah, I'm sure you're aware by now that the professional bouncy ball team in your state, the Utah Jazz, have utterly disgraced themselves and the residents of the Beehive State with their latest stunt en route to tanking, right? You're aware of this, right?
No, I know. I know they made a bunch of trades, but
God.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
What happened?
What happened? Did Adam Silver's NBA happened is what happened. Look, this is yet another thing in sports nowadays that has become really quite unpalatable in almost every sense of the term. Okay. Here is Zach Lowe on his podcast talking about the shameless tank job. Because, you know, you guys are trying to lose. You're in the process of losing games, getting more ping pong balls, getting a better lottery pick. This draft coming up is going to be bonkers good in the NBA. Even though what was thought to be maybe the number one pick in Darren Peterson pushed out of a big showdown game against Arizona, undefeated Arizona on Big Monday with flu-like symptoms.
Not the flu.
Flu-like.
But something like the flu.
Right. He's already missed half his games due to soft tissue injuries. And a number of pundits are seriously going, as talented as he is, I don't know if I can take him 1-1. What's this guy's deal? Maybe he didn't want the smoke of the number one team in the country. Spoiler, Kansas and Bill Self beat him anyway because that's what Bill Self does. Bill Self has had 15 games at Phog Allen in which he was the lower ranked team. And he is 15-0 in those games.
That's insane. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. That's a hell of a stat for you right there. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Some people aren't total Bill Self guys, but let me tell you, guy gets it done when he's the lesser ranked team at home. Okay. On to the point of the shameless tanking. Here is Zach Lowe on the Zach Lowe Show talking about it.
Get that night to watch you suffer through it. Like, and they were winning Jaren Jackson Jr.'s debut. He and Markkanen look good together. A fourth quarter comes around. Good players are nowhere to be found. Here comes the bench. They blow the lead and lose the game. Washington owes a top 8 protected pick to the Knicks. I mentioned the Nets by accident because they played the Nets over the weekend. And what happened? Bilal Coulibaly, not exactly an offensive dynamo, but still one of the 6 best players on the Wizards. He's out with an injury. Keyshawn George having a wonderful second year in the league. He's out with something. Alex Saar can't play that game, can play the next game. They lose to the Nets. Those are the top eight protected teams. Then you have Indiana, gap year. They trade for Zubats. We'll see like how long Zubats takes to recover from whatever injuries he's recovering from. Brooklyn, they keep Michael Porter Jr. They have a gap year because of the trades that they made, including the Harden trade. This
All is right. He's going into some other teams here, so I'm going to cut that short for a second. But basically, Utah was winning easily through three quarters, and then your coach just benched your three best players. Here's a KSL.com column by Patrick Kinahan. For some reason, Jazz method of tanking draws widespread ire. Jaren Jackson debuted with 22 points. Jazz maintained lottery position despite backlash.
Yes, they traded away a bunch of picks, but not this year's first rounder. They've still got this year's first rounder. It's top eight protected. And here, wasn't the lottery supposed to solve this, Abe? Wasn't the whole point of the lottery that tanking wouldn't be worth it? Yet no league tanks more harder and more obviously than the NBA.
Yeah, the lottery was supposed to hedge against it, because you just having the worst record would not guarantee you anything. But if you're
tell the Timberwolves that.
Right, right. Or the Wizards.
Worst record, here's pick five.
Yeah. I shouldn't say the Wizards never win the lottery. They won it twice. One with John Wall, who turned out okay, not as good as possible. And then the other one was Kwame Brown, who was a complete and utter bust. But anyway, the point is, teams will still tank. Because even if the lottery blunts your odds of success, you still have a chance. And that's all you can do if you're a Utah, Indiana, Washington, Milwaukee, you name it, you know, all these other teams.
Yeah. Well, that whole league, Zabe, as you know, that whole league is predicated on landing 2.5 superstars. And that's all you need. It's not like football, right? You need 2.5 superstars. Get yourself into a position to get the first, second, third pick in the draft, and you've got a pathway to your superstar. One of the 2.5 that you need.
Yeah.
And that's what teams are. That's how it works. It's no guarantee, but you want to give yourself a shot at.
I know it, but we've become so inured. That's a fancy word. We've become so accustomed to this being how business is done, that I think we've lost sight of, hold up, wait a minute. So we're supposed to, as fans, as paying customers, as ticket holders, just eat
that
it?
That part sucks.
Just eat it for not just season, but multiple seasons in a row? Like the Wizards.
Yes.
And the answer is, they expect that. And that's where I say, if you buy season tickets to an NBA franchise, I hope you really love hoops, pro hoops, and you got the tickets for a reason, and it's because there's a community of people you know there, and it's worth the exorbitant cost. I hope that's the case, because if not, you're a fucking sucker. You have you're a lollipop head in a Bugs Bunny cartoon is what you are. Like, seriously, because it is offensive to one's sensibilities as a sports fan to think, like the Wizards, they acquire Trae Young, all-star from Atlanta. They acquire Anthony Davis, all-star from Dallas. And they've already said they're not going to play the rest of the year. Oh, they got injuries. His knees, Trae Young's knee's not quite right. And Anthony Davis has got a groin and he's got a hand injury. And you look at the calendar and go, it's fucking January. Really? The rest of the year? Got February, got March, we got a little chunk of April. That nothing? And the answer is no, because if they play and they win a couple, they could fuck themselves in the lottery. Now, the solution would be, somebody proposed this, the number one pick goes to the team with the best record who missed the playoffs.
Yes, that's right. Best record who misses the playoffs. Yeah, but now your problem is the other side of it. You're a bad team, and you don't have a path to get better. And that's
don't be bad.
Bad.
Easier said than done.
Until your team is bad for 10 years.
Well, you'll still pick 13th.
Yeah, the NBA 13th isn't worth jack shit more often than not. That's why it's not realistic.
Bootstrap yourself up out of the mud is all I can say. All right, let's move on.
Do you think when people calculate the cost of their season tickets, so let's say you're paying $5,000 for your Utah Jazz season tickets, do they calculate and you divide it by whatever, 81 games, it's 60 a game or something, or do you divide it by 40 games because the Jazz are only going to play hard and actually try to win for 40 games? Do people do the math on that?
If you started doing that in? If you started doing the math, then anyone with a brain would cancel their tickets. They would say, I only need 10 games a year, and StubHub is real and exists. So why the fuck am I buying 40? Sucker. But hey, if that's what makes you happy, I'm not here to judge.
Sounds like you're judging.
No, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, well, we are judging, but, you know, I instead of getting my side-by-side, I could have gotten season tickets for several years.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have a side-by-side.
You're right. Would you rather have a side-by-side or season tickets? Duh, side-by-side. Winning.
Right.
So I was a little bit wrong about the Bill Self record, but it's even better. You ready?
What?
He's 15-0 at Phog Allen when he is the lower-ranked team against top 10 opponents. So in other words, he's perfect when the real good teams come calling. And what's also incredible is that the game was on ESPN's Big Monday, and he is now 39-0 on Big Monday at Kansas. So there you go on that.
That's
damn good.
What a track record. And you know what? They'll drive him out. They'll do something stupid and just start taking him for granted, drive him out at some point. I hope not. But that's, you know, but that stuff happens all the time.
Olympic
expectations go up, go up, go up. And then, you know, your guy who does not deliver a national championship every week has got
to
go.
To the Olympics we go. And while nobody really gives a shit about a lot of these weird, bizarre, esoteric winter sports that only the Dutch and the Swedes and the Finns
and Minnesotans we love our Winter Olympics.
Nobody really cares about them, but the Olympics winter and summer are an absolute content machine for us in the chattering class, because the stories that come out of the Olympics are amazing, including this one. Norwegian Olympic bronze medalist Strula Holm broke down in tears while using the platform to share that he cheated on his girlfriend. What? I met the love of my life.
To talk about your bronze medal.
Hold on. You're not hearing this because I'm not sharing the screen with you. Let me try this again.
Okay.
Coming down in three. Let's count it down. All right, here we go. Share screen. Here he is. Okay. All right, you can see it now, right?
Yep, I can.
Okay, here he is. Starts by saying 6 months ago. He first of all thanks his family and his coaches and whatever.
Og for 3 måneder siden så gjorde jeg min største tabbe og var utro mot henne. Og det fortalte jeg for en uke siden. Og det har vært den første uken I mitt liv. Så jeg hadde gullmedalje I livet.
So I have the gold medal in life. Translation is, I met the most wonderful person 6 months ago. By the way, this relationship is still under warranty. It's the honeymoon phase.
6 months.
I met the most wonderful person in the world, and 3 months ago, I made the biggest mistake of my life and cheated on her. And that's all I've been thinking about for a week. And it's been the worst week of my life. He says then, so I had a gold medal in life. I'm sure there are many people out there who now see me in a different light. Oh, yes. Yes, there are. Now, I understand he's caught up in his feels here. He's racked with guilt because he is a good guy. Right, Church? Good guys feel remorse when they do something bad. Right? Bad boys.
Yes.
Bad boys don't give a shit. Yeah. Do you think Alberto Tomba, the playboy downhiller for Italy. That was the talk of the Olympics several cycles ago. Do you remember Alberto Tomba? He was like, Alberto Tomba was basically Joe Namath on skis, but Italian. that dude was slaying so much pussy. It was unbelievable. This guy's a nice guy, and he feels guilt. But guess what? As I said on Twitter, you know, I'm going to take a stab at this and say that his current girl is not going to see that and say, oh, babe, that's so sweet. That ain't going to be her reaction.
You just shamed her in front of the world. And has this ever worked?
You think, okay, you're saying this about him, not about me. Okay. Yeah, you agree with me that her likely reaction is not, aw, babe, it's okay.
That's so sweet. By the way, he got caught. That's why this is, that's what this is. You know, had he not gotten caught, he would not just have fessed up to the whole world. He got caught. She's pissed. Now he can't focus on the Olympics while he's at the Olympics. He's focused on the guilt from the moment. And I don't know that there's ever been a scenario like this where it's worked, where you've been like, where the girl's like,
we're good
in
now.
That case. Now that you've shamed me in front of the world and outed me as for this, not that she did anything wrong, to be clear, she didn't do anything wrong, but it still does not. It still doesn't look good. It's not a good look.
Well, we don't know the relationship. We don't know if she did anything wrong. We don't know if she was not boning someone on the two-man skeleton from Uzbekistan, okay? In the athlete's village. In the athlete's village, while good old Sterla Holm was out there shushing away on his cross-country skis. We don't know. And I'm not going to pretend that I do or sit in there and judge. All I'm saying is, of all the ways to come clean about your cheating, this was one of them. It was probably one of the worst ways to do it, short of hiring an airplane with a banner behind it saying, sorry, I cheated on you.
I believe the best winter sport is the biathlon. The best winter Olympic sport is the biathlon. I think it's totally badass.
Because why?
If you've never shot a gun and you've never skied, you won't understand it. But if you've ever done either or, you should be able to understand the difficulty here. First of all, you have to go basically run a half marathon. You've got these long, long cross country trails that you have to go attack in. And to be,
can we time out here? Time out and talk about cross country skiing. I've done it, I think, twice. And that was twice too many for ultimately what I would have signed up for. I think it is suck minus, would not recommend. Not exciting, not easy, not fun, not relaxing, none of it. Have you gone cross-country skiing?
Well, let me tell you, Zay.
George is like, I'm from Minnesota. Yeah. Of course, Minnesota, I cross-country to school when I was a kid.
So here's your story. I am in 10th grade. We have on our team, my high school cross country running team is good, but we've got a couple of guys on the cross country running team that are even better skiers, including the best high school cross country skier in the nation, Ben Huseby, on our team. Now, Ben would go on to the Olympics.
Ben Huseby?
That's right. The event has just noted cross-country skiing.
And he went to the Olympics.
He went to the Olympics. That's right. For America later. But it's 10th grade. He's on my cross-country running team. We've got some other pretty good skiers. And our cross-country running team goes to state. We didn't do very well at state, but we went to state. And all the guys at the end of state. So this is now
Hey, coach, we're going to state?
State meet.
Hey, coach, we're going to state this year? Hey, coach, we're going to state this year? What movie is that from, Charge? We got to watch some fucking
Don't say Christmas Vacation.
No, because you hate Christmas Vacation for reasons still are misunderstood
Nobody
by many
understands.
People.
That's right.
The answer is Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights, the parents wouldn't stop asking the coach. That's the original movie, not the TV show, but the movie. Hey, coach, we're going to state this year? Okay, so your cross-country team going to state.
So we go to state, and then it's going to go to cross-country skiing season. And I'm like, no, I'm out. I don't want to do it. I've never skied. But the guys are on me. They're like, dude, we're going to be really good. You can figure it out. You'll figure out how to ski. You know, we'll help you. We'll coach you up. We'll train you.
Figure it out.
And so it's late November, and I've never skied, but I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So we go right into cross-country skiing season, and there's no snow. So we're just running, waiting for snow. And it doesn't snow, and it doesn't snow, and it doesn't snow. And our first meet is going to be mid-December. Doesn't snow. We're just running. The day of the first meet, it starts snowing hard. And we were assuming this meet would get canceled. It doesn't get canceled.
What month is this?
This is mid-December.
Okay.
Now, I've never skied. And it's a cross-country ski meet. And the way the cross-country ski meets work, Zabe, is they plow two lines. You know, like there's
these two lanes, two tracks.
Yeah, two lanes in, and there's
so
there's
four total
two
tracks,
parallel lanes, four right. total tracks.
Yes,
and you go off two at a time. So you and some other person will go off. Then 15 seconds later, you and some another person will go off, and then 15 seconds later, you and another person will go off. So I've never been on skis. And here's the ski meet. And so I'm walking slowly in my skis up to the starting position at my appointed time, which is near the very back of the pack, thank God. And get up to the front. I'm very wobbly. And they give me the go sign.
Like, go!
3, 2, 1, go!
Go!
You don't do a gun for every heat because it's people going off all the time.
Right.
So go. I took one step. And I fell down. I get back up,
yard
dust sale. Myself off, fall down again. One step, fall down. Zabe, the course is a 5K course. It's 3.5 miles.
Oh my God.
I fell the entire course. I did not know how to ski, and I fell the whole course. People going around me, I'm wrecking the course because I'm falling on the lanes.
Yeah, you're trashing the tracks, scattering the snow all over the place.
And they
thought you'd pick it up naturally.
But
they also thought you'd have some time before the actual meet with some snow on the ground to kind of get your little bird legs under you.
Exactly. So this meet was like 7 schools. I am by far the worst skier. And like everything's shutting down. The whole event's shutting down, but I'm still out like a mile and a half. And I'm the last one. I am the last one to come in. And they're like, you know, I just skied directly onto the bus so everybody could leave.
They're pulling up the flags and the ropes.
Exactly.
And they've already folded up the coffee table with the hot chocolate on it. The bus is running. Everyone's on it. They're honking the horn. And here comes Charge falling down. Well, I'm sure you got better at it after that first time. I'm sure you said, I'm not going to go out like this. I'm not going out like a bitch. I got to learn this sport.
Top 7 kids get to be varsity. And I am by far, obviously, the worst kid on the team, of which there's like probably 30.
Yeah.
And so I'm running with the JV team. By the time we get to the state meet, I've worked my way up to 8. Top 7 get to go to state. I was the 8th guy. The 7 other kids go to state, and they win state in cross country. And I was the next man up.
Missed glory by one spot.
I missed glory. I missed the special cross-country skiing glory by one freaking spot.
I want to recreate this. I want to film this. I want to make a little short video of this, like a 12-minute mini documentary. Because I already see the closing shot, which is you having figured out how to not fall on your ass cross-country skiing with your little Minnesota Vikings toque on your head, and your mittens on and your poles and you're all ready to go, but you're Mr. Ninth on the team of eight and you're hoping as you wait for the bus to leave a frozen, cold, what suburb did you live in? Edina?
Eden Prairie, Minnesota.
Eden Prairie. You're at a cold bus stop in Eden Prairie, and you're waiting there. You're hoping that the eighth guy somehow got sick or had homework to do and couldn't make it. Yeah, you're all ready to go.
That's exactly what I was hoping for. Yes. Yes.
And the final scene is of the bus. Pulling away to reveal Charch. Sad as his body goes slumpingly limp and his head drops as the guy left behind.
It is true.
Let's make this movie. Come on.
Oh man, I want to figure out who'd play me. I'd like to know who's gonna end up playing me, but
I think a young Fred Savage might do the trick, although he's not young anymore. Young Fred Savage. Let me see how old Fred Savage is these days. He's 49. Fred Savage has the nice, soft-cheeked, nice, soft-eyes kind of face that I think would play you pretty well. You know what? You know who Fred Savage is?
I could do worse.
Okay.
I could do worse. Did
From Wonder did Years.
Did he end up banging Winnie Cooper at any point in time?
Banging or just co-starring opposite her? That was in the Wonder Years, right?
Yeah, right. Wonder Years, right? Winnie Cooper was just the epitome of adorable, right?
That's the character name, Winnie Cooper. That was played by the lovely Danica McKellar.
That's exactly right. That is who it was played by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if she's aged well. I'd like to think that she has.
I'd seen some pictures not so long ago. Danica McKellar, 2025. Let's not pick this year's photo. Let's go to images. And yeah, for a woman her age, she's very fit, has those same beautiful brown eyes, the very characteristic nose and beautiful welcoming smile. Yeah, she's still a damn snack at 50 years old.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
You know, I didn't pay attention a lot in science class in high school. No shock there, but I wish I had, at least when it comes to this. When I hit my 30s and 40s, I started to realize, you know, that same diet that would keep me lean, it's not working anymore. I'm soft around the middle. Energy crashes at 2 o'clock became sort of normal. I figured that's not supposed to happen. So I went full hypochondriac, Googling symptoms, low T kept popping up. You know, doctors act like TRT is casual, weekly shots forever. Well, I dug deeper. $3,000 a year to shut down your natural production? Yeah, no, that kind of terrified me. So, this new year, I'm turning the clock back with the natural way, with Mars Men. It's a potent stack of ingredients, things I can't even pronounce. Tonget, Ali, Shalgit, Zinc, Boron, and more. All of it optimizes your body's own testosterone production. Same benefits, steady energy, stronger lift, sharp focus, no needles, no synthetics, or shutdown. No dependency either. Just real ingredients supporting stamina and recovery. Made in the USA, third-party tested, and with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of guys report higher energy. I've been on it, and honestly, more consistent drive, energy, focus all day long. Actually starting to walk more, feeling way better in 2026 than I have in years. Check out the reviews at mengotomars.com and find out more. No risk and a huge upside. That's mengotomars.com and find out the better way to work on your low T.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. The other story... The other story from the Olympics, and this one is a doozy. Headline, ski jump acid injecting penis gate rocks Olympics. You have heard of this one because I sent you the link. The World Anti-Doping Agency is investigating whether ski jumpers were injecting their penises with hyaluronic acid in an effort to fly further.
Of the things you could inject into your penis, acid is probably the last thing I'm going to inject into my penis. And you have to wonder, Zabe, who was the first guy?
Who was the first guy to try it, to do
and,
it?
And how many things did he try before he landed on whatever acid this is? Was this the 84th thing he injected into his penis? Or was this the first thing that he injected into his penis and it happened to work?
I don't know. The German newspaper Bild, who broke the story, has claimed that athletes have injected the acid into their penises to game the system when they are measured for their suits, which is tightly regulated to prevent any athlete from having an aerodynamic advantage. Now, the question is, how would this benefit them? Well, hyaluronic acid is a common filler used in cosmetic surgery, including injections being used for penile girth enlargement surgery, according to Professor Eric Chung, a urology surgeon. Injecting a penis with hyaluronic acid would make it bigger girth-wise, but you would need to inject a lot of it, said Chung. It's a temporary effect and needs a top up every 6 to 12 months. Well, I get mine every 4 months, but yeah, 6 to 12 months.
Top it off.
And here's how it works. Before the start of the season, ski jumpers have to have their suits made up based on the measurements of their body's length, including crotch height, determined by a Fédération Internationale of Sport approved 3D body scanner in the presence of a doctor, stripped down to their underwear and with particular stipulations around posture. Wow. Who knew?
I had no idea that they had to have the suit so tight. I thought the guys just wanted the suit tight so they could show off. Turns out they don't want the suit tight. They want the suit loose so you get more of a sail. You're catching a sail with the loose fabric. And I had no idea that they measured every last pube to get the exact size.
So when you get measured for your suit, don't you want to get measured flaccid so that you try to get a boner before competing to then stretch that suit out?
No, the opposite. It's the opposite. You want to go in for
go
your
big,
testing.
Get measured.
With the doctor,
big.
Go big, measure big.
And
that's
then,
right, because
and then you've got to think about, oh, I don't know, baseball box scores to give you an anti boner, or perhaps
Renee Zellweger.
Hey, easy now. I was going to say our favorite punching bag, Lena Dunham. But have you seen she's lost a lot of weight? Actually, no.
No, good for her.
Not Lena Dunham, the other gal who was hot movie star, blonde for a while, not very good looking. She starred opposite LeBron James on HBO. We used to use her as a zinger all the time in our fantasy football segments. Why can I not think of her?
Not Lady Gaga.
Ah, God damn it, George. Just remember, please. Remember.
How do we not? I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of her name. Are we just, is it just that our mental faculties are steeply declining? Well, maybe.
Trainwreck is the name of the movie. Amy Schumer used to be our punching bag joke of, even though she played opposite LeBron James.
If you had to perform, could you?
In a ski jumpsuit?
No, I mean with Amy Schumer. For some reason,
amen.
You need to perform. Could you step up in that moment?
I mean, look, yeah. I mean, I would hope so. At the end of the day, if you're a dude's dude, there are far worse out there. She may not be it, all things considered, but she's still famous. That counts as an extra special notch on your belt.
Notch on the belt, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so, you know. So
I guess there's something to that.
Yeah, I think you'd want to, as a man, you'd want to give her. You'd want to give her. Give her good.
Have you factored in the prospect of herpes?
No.
It might just be better to tap out and not take the risk and just acknowledge defeat.
No. Don't inject your penis with hyaluronic acid because, according to the story, it carries significant risks, both short and long term. Quote, poorly injected technique or incorrect dosages could cause penile pain, poor cosmesis or disfigurement, deformity, infection, inflammation, sensory change, or sexual dysfunction. In rare instances, infection can spread to cause gangrene or tissue necrosis and loss of your penis. Sort of like intentional grounding, it's 15 yards and loss of down. Loss of penis. Of
down.
Actually, is it 15 or 10 yards on intentional grounding?
10. Spot a foul plus 5, maybe? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Spot a foul, well, loss of down plus 5 yards, something like that.
I know it's loss of down. The last thing you want is loss of penis in any way.
No, if you're going to get necrosis, the worst place you can get it is your penis. And if you brought it upon yourself by injecting acid into your penis.
Yeah. Church?
Yes.
You there? Are you there, Church?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You stopped talking. I couldn't hear you there. What's going on? Can you hear me?
Our internet is cutting in and out.
Oh, okay. All right. Charge, you're the best. I'm so happy for you and for Roxy. Enjoy that side-by-side. And please be careful. Don't roll it off a canyon into shallow, muddy water and die, okay? Be careful. Okay?
Thank you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, if you are not full yet, I offer you a bonus piece of content. I spoke with Fox Sports play-by-play man and former dean of college football desk at CBS Sports for many years, a guy who has been great to me, even though we worked under the same W-2 tax form company, Sporting News Radio, for just the briefest of time. Tim Brando opened up to me about the dream of calling a Super Bowl, plus the odd standoff between college guys and NFL guys in broadcasting, and the great Lou Holtz, who is currently in hospice care and sadly probably doesn't have much time left. And then there were some thoughts, as always, on the college football playoff schedule, which gets worse for the next 2 years, but I asked him whether there was hope that it could shrink back to something sensible once we get past the 2027 playoff. Uncle Timmy is here. Joining us now, Uncle Timmy, Tim Brando, joins us on this Super Bowl weekend. Timmy, I know you've called so many great games and moments and sports and everything else. To my knowledge, you've never called a Super Bowl. Do you yearn inside, my friend, to say, just give me one?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why, Zaves. My passion has always been for college football. And as a kid growing up, Yeah, I was, I admired and looked up to Kurt Gowdy more than anyone. And I think Kurt had like seven of them, maybe eight, you know, and then some of the biggest and the best at the very beginning of it. But he also did the Rose Bowl. And, you know, I think I was more excited anytime I saw my idol calling the Rose Bowl than the Super Bowl. So it's all about perspectives, I guess, to some extent.
Isn't
when I
it,
got started.
Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
It is. I think that being born and bred in the Deep South, my passion was always more collegiate. We had, when I was raised in the 50s and 60s, you know, we didn't have an NFL franchise in New Orleans yet. We didn't have a baseball franchise yet in it was just being born, really, in Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about Bob Short taking the Senators into Arlington, that was, gosh, I was in high school by that time.
Yeah.
So
thanks,
I think
thanks
that,
a lot. You guys stole my boyhood team, but it was only one of several owners who took the baseball right. team out of DC
yeah.
back in the
yeah.
day. There is a weird siloing, I feel, Timmy, between mm-hmm. college football and NFL. And only recently we've had some people work both sides of the street, like Herb Street
yeah.
does
yeah.
and like Fowler
yeah.
does when he does bonus NFL games. To me, there's right. nothing wrong with it, but there seems to be such a fierce cult to both that mm-hmm. many people don't tolerate that working both sides of the street.
Yeah, you know, I got some of that when I was at CBS. Now, granted, I was doing regional games. My thought process to my bosses at every network I've been with, and in the last two, I've worked both NFL as well as college. Obviously, college far more prominently in every game, a national game, whereas with CBS and with Fox, the games were regionally televised. So maybe a lot of people didn't notice it. Maybe my game was going to, you know, Lou Holtz, God bless him.
Not, you know, we, God bless him. He's still with us.
God bless him.
Yes.
God bless him. He's still with us. But
yes.
I remember Lou and Ted James and I did a Tennessee Oilers, Baltimore Ravens game in 98 at Lou's request, really. He wanted, before he left to go to South Carolina, he told Sean McManus, you know, it's only Lou could. I just want to do one NFL game. Just let me do one NFL game. And so we did the Oilers before they became the Titans, but they had moved out of Houston. So the game was over at Vanderbilt Stadium in November of 98. And we did the game, and we had a blast. But I remember he said, I just think the game was seen in Memphis and maybe parts of Nashville. You know,
that's classic.
We were going to 0.7% of the country, but he was. We had a blast doing it. But I remember some local writers, even then in Nashville, were being critical of. Well, I mean, how big is it to have the Oilers coming in? We got a game, and they've got college guys doing our game. That, you know,
yeah.
because Craig and Lou and I were the studio hosts for the College Football Today that entire season.
Right.
So there, I think a lot of times writers, without even, you know, those are college guys. They don't know anything about the NFL. Football is football, and I love football. But I've oftentimes said this to the bosses, and I said this to Fox when I went over there. I said, if you need some help when there's more regionals that particular week for Fox than usual, you know, call me out of the bullpen. I'm ready to go. The NFL is far easier to call. You got fewer guys on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
The rules are pretty explicit. You don't have to worry about a group of walk-ons coming on. And by the way, the games are always closer because parity has always been involved. You didn't have the kind of blowouts that you had in college, but I would say to them always, I'll do whatever you need me to do out of the bullpen right. in the NFL right. when college is over. But I never want to compromise my role in college football for NFL regional games. I just
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
A lot of guys would prefer, I think, doing the number three or four game in the NFL. And I never wanted that. I wanted to do games that were being seen or at least available on a national level. But to your point, the glut of games that's out there now, and since COVID, okay, we've seen, I think, in some measure, that crossover being a little more accepted because we have all these games being televised. I tell people this all the time, young guys getting into the business. I tell them, you know, there are a lot more jobs available, but those jobs may not be as good as they once were. You know, when I was hired at ESPN and moved up to Connecticut in 1986, there were 10 people working there that were on the air. We had 10 guys. Okay.
Wow.
The original SportsCenter guys. And then John Saunders, who was coming in from Baltimore, and me coming in from Baton Rouge. We were sort of the second wave. And this was the first time that they ever had guys having dual roles going from studio into the booth to do play-by-play. You know, Berman wasn't allowed to do it. Mies wasn't allowed to. And they were dying to do it.
Yeah.
But there were these limitations that the business put on people's careers and their talent that really should not have been there. So I'd like to think that we helped break the barrier. But more than anything else, I look at it from the standpoint of how much fun have you had? And I don't live in regret. Would I have loved to have said that I called a national championship game? Yeah. Yeah. That one, if you ask me that question.
That more yes, than and, Super Bowl, oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason I've not done a national championship game is because I was too damn impatient to stay long enough to get my opportunity. You know, I'm told this all the time, Brando, you were the original host of Game Day. Had you stayed,
yeah,
you would have been doing the games that Fowler's doing. I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't wait 25 years.
Well,
I was not going to wait
right
25 years.
Well, here's the thing too.
That. I was just too impatient for it.
And you know this as well as anybody. If you can stay and stay and stay and go up and rise and rise and rise, and then a new guy comes in and runs the show and he has a different idea and you're out.
Absolutely.
And so what good did all that staying do you? By the way, the great Lou Holtz, currently in hospice care. He's 89 years old. He's a national
God
treasure.
God bless him.
God bless him indeed. It hurts my heart to think that there'll never be another Lou Holtz and that they're not making characters quite like Lou Holtz anymore.
Well, let me say this, okay? There's a lot of Holtz because he had, let's face it, he had swagger. He was well ahead of his time in terms of coaching swagger.
Who do you think is on par Cignetti. Character? What, Cignetti? Yeah, you're
Cignetti.
Right.
Cignetti. Oh, is Cignetti. Oh, yeah. But no doubt about it.
But to get a skinny kid from Follansbee, West Virginia, who looks like he should be anything in the world but a football coach, with his speech impediment, able to lead young men into great success on the college football gridiron at an iconic place like Notre Dame, man, oh man, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, no, he's unique. He's unique. There'll never be another Lou Holtz.
Yeah,
there won't. I mean, and there'll never be a coach at Notre Dame that will embellish and love and endear himself to the role of being the head coach of Notre Dame any more than Lou Holtz. But I'll never forget, we were on our way to that game, and we were on our way to another game. We did, like, I think it was two games. We did one in Baltimore, too. And so we're driving down from New York after our Saturday studio show to go to the Ravens game on Sunday. And as we're going in the limo, it was a stretch, and Lou is kind of leaning back in one, and Craig and I are sort of in the back. And he's literally contemplating whether he's going to take the job at South Carolina. She loves me not. I mean, he's going on and on. He was concerned. He looked at us and he said, you guys don't just if I take this South Carolina. Because he really wanted to take the job. You know, he wanted one more run at it.
Yeah.
But he didn't want his legacy at Notre Dame to be tarnished. So he says, he sit and still does. Handwritten messages on Notre Dame stationery.
Okay. Wow.
That's how much he loved being the Notre Dame coach. So he says, I just don't see you. We said, coach, it's like when you're the head football coach and you've won 100 games at Notre Dame, you're always the head coach at Notre Dame. Yeah. It's like being a senator or the vice president. You're always going to be the vice president. You're always going to be the senator. So stop with that. Just take the damn job.
And he did,
I suppose. And he did. And he, you know what? He rebuilt that thing.
Yep.
And he built. He won a lot. He took a team to beat Ohio State in bowl games, which would, by the way, would have been his other dream job because he started with Woody Hayes as an assistant. If not Notre Dame, it would have been Ohio State. And he beat them twice in consecutive bowl years. So, you know, good for him.
All right. We got 5 good minutes, which is going to test our challenge to get this in because this is essentially the only thing I really care to talk to you about today, which is the college football playoff schedule was awful this year, and people scream bloody murder. And so the powers that be said, okay, we hear you. Hold on, let us fix it. And then they handed it back, and it's worse, Tim. What's going on? The floor is yours.
Well, not only do we need a czar, but the czar needs a public relations director, don't you think?
Oh, my God. There's more space between two of the rounds than before.
Yeah.
And part of it was driven by they had to dodge an NFL game on Thursday, New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Why do that? Move the season up. Start week zero on August the 10th, not August the 24th, as we did last year. And play these playoff games during that dead space, during the holidays when, you know, ESPN is throwing all these glorified exhibitions up with these bowl games that, you know, three quarters of them they own. And put games that have meaning in there, and let's finish this thing at or around New Year's Day. The notion, the only sport that's been slower to move on anything is baseball than college football. Thank God Major League Baseball was slower to change than football. Otherwise, you know, our sport would look like.
But baseball's moving. But baseball's moving now, Tim, with the pitch clock and a lot of different things.
Right. Who helped him move, by the way?
TV.
Okay. And he's getting trashed.
Oh.
Yeah. Trashed in the media today. Tony Petitti. Tony Petitti went to work in the baseball office after he had put MLB Network on the air. And he came in with some ideas, and Manfred, to his credit, rolled with him. Now, today, he's attempting to do the same thing with some of the ideas that he's brought out. And people see, but he's not, he doesn't give access to the writers. So the writers are trashing him. And I'm here to tell you, Tony's ideas are visionary and they're really good. They're well founded. And I say that with the understanding that people are going to say, oh, Brando, you're partial to him because he's Big Ten and you're at Fox. But screw that. I'm tired of hearing that crap. No, the guy understands how to get more eyeballs to your sport. And how do you do it? You quicken the process and you get back to New Year's Day. You know, the New Year's Day that we owned when I was growing up, we're losing. How can you keep people's interest in our country when you have one round of playoffs in college and then you have two rounds of the NFL before you even get to your semifinal game?
Insane.
Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? Now, that's one of the things that chaps my ass time and time again is, again, the inability for people to just listen, okay? Get into a room and listen some. And I understand why some of the writers are pissed off at him, because he won't talk to them the way Sankey. You know, Sankey is an NCAA aristocrat that came up through the infractions committee of the NCAA. He's now the commissioner. Mike Slide brought him in to clean up some of the programs. And, you know, Greg's a smart guy. But, hell, he'll throw a news conference in the parking lot of a Target. And so, you know, the writers lap that up, okay? But Tony's an executive from television, and all those guys always want to get the idea on paper. They want to be able to make a big announcement, but they don't want leaks. And these leaks continually happen because the presidents of the institution, the institutions that guys like Sankey and Tony Petitti serve, they don't stop talking. You know, they'll talk to anybody. And these presidents are clueless. Yeah. So that's all part of the problem that college football has from a PR standpoint.
All right. So that said, is this the worst in 2027 or 2026 and 2027? Because they dropped the next 2 years of the postseason schedule. Is this the worst and the latest and the most stretched out it's ever going to be? Please tell me, Uncle Timmy, it won't get any worse. I beg of you.
We're going to stay at 12 because the SEC camp and the Big Ten camp aren't together.
Nope.
So we're going to go through this painful process. And then after two or three years, which I think is what he had in mind when he said, I'll agree to 16 if you'll think about going to 24 in 3 or 4 years. That's what he said. This thing runs through 32. Well, after they see the audience continue to dwindle, and by the way, the ratings have never been better. in the regular season, but the audience will continue to dwindle in the postseason. And then what will happen? The need for more money will be there. How do you get more money? By having more inventory. How do you get more inventory? By having more games. Yeah. So we'll get to 16, and then we'll later, I think. And by the way, 24 sounds outlandish, I know, to a lot of people now. But once, wouldn't you say after 1 year of 12 that the appetite for 16 is already there? Would you say that?
With some people, there's always room for more.
I think so. Yeah,
but I like many others, have my limits as to when I'm full. And I can say that 16 would be the biggest plate of food I could probably want.
Right, right. But I'll tell you this, Zage. I'm telling you this. What he's got in mind here is not necessarily, you know, a big, huge playoff system where we've got a committee having to deal with 24.
No, he would preload the brackets into the end of the regular season.
With more meaningful games. Yeah. Yeah. For November, which of course is a boon to your television audience. So, listen, we can't build Rome in a day, and God knows, for every step forward, we have to take two steps back. And in college, as Beano Cook used to say to me, Bradshaw, what you want, you'll get, because the presidents, what they don't know football, but they know money, and they're gonna need more money. For Christ's sakes.
I love it. All right, Timmy, we'll see you on the college basketball road. Always great to connect. Thank you.
Thanks, Zane. It's good to be with you.
And that is a wrap. My goodness, what another monster episode. And I appreciate all the positive feedback. I know you missed me on the radio, people, but more of me here ain't a bad thing. Please rate and review and subscribe if you can. Subscribing is easy. Had someone say, how do I do it? I want to support. Easy. Go to Zabe.com/premium. Zabe.com/premium. Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo.com/premium. You get Fridays with Scott and Solly when you subscribe for a mere $5 a month. And you get your Monday through Thursday in a separate ad-free feed, which is glorious. Also, Zabe Vegas starting to accelerate the bids. Just yesterday, Brian Fry and Sky Scott, is that his real name, punched their tickets to join me in Vegas for the Sweet 16. Jonathan Stack and Michael Buckley are in as well. I believe we are at about 28 qualifiers, which is, of course, meaning you paid listeners. I got myself, Mr. X, and Armin Sarian as the auto bids in the field of 64. So if you count us, we're about halfway to the field being totally full, and we're not yet to Valentine's Day, so chop chop if you want to join us. If you would like to be a part of it, just drop me an email, zabe@yahoo.com, and be patient for a day because many of these are landing in my junk folder for reasons only the algorithm knows. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.